Welcome to Breakthrough with Brig, the podcast that teaches high-achieving Black women how to use thought work to break through barriers, get out of their own way, and become their best self in the most loving and sustainable way. Y'all ready? Let's dig in. Hey guys, how are y'all doing? You know, every time I kind of have a little bit of an extra little kick in my voice, you know, that means I have a guest. And today is no different. But I also am kicking off a new series within my podcast. I thought about like doing a new series and having a separate one, and I may eventually separate this out. But for right now, within the podcast, we're going to do a series. And just like my value of coaching series, which I will continue interviewing my clients, this is going to be for just what I considered women winning. And so this is where we're going to celebrate the achievements of ordinary women navigating the path of success. I want to say extraordinary, not just ordinary, extraordinary, but ordinary in a way of like, we all don't see them on TV or whatever, but that doesn't mean that we can't be extraordinary women navigating our own paths to success. So today, we're honored to have Kirsten Rodan, and she's been on before. So for those of you who may like, wait a minute, yes, she has. She's a million-dollar email and systems coach for coaches and a former client who has mastered the art of remote work while scaling her business to incredible heights. And so if you're like, I'm not a coach, this doesn't apply to me, wrong. No, we're going to dive into Kirsten's journey. We'll explore her expertise in mastering remote work, productivity, and presence from afar. From those of you who need to like have that presence, but yet you're working remotely. And we're going to focus on the best practice for remote work systems, and especially those that are tailored for women of color in corporate and entrepreneurial realms. So join in, get your tea, get ready, as we uncover the strategies, the struggles, and the success stories connecting the dots between personal growth, nervous system regulation, because you know I got to put that in, and professional achievement. So Kirsten, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
To say tickled pink is like an understatement. I am tickled pink because not only for my clients, but for me, like I'm one of the ones that struggle. So a lot of y'all, I'm going to be asking for my own self, like how, because I look at her in amazement. I'm like, how does she get all this shit done? Like, what is she doing over there? Because what am I doing and what is she doing and how? And so I'm going to get real curious. I'm going to ask and we're going to like dive into this together. So if you're struggling with getting work done, especially while you're at home, Kirsten is the one and we're just going to dive in. So I'm going to start with the first one. First, can you share your journey into becoming a systems and productivity expert, particularly in the context of remote work? Because I know as a coach, you've always worked remote, right? So can you share your journey and how that happened?
Absolutely. So before I was a coach, I was in healthcare. You know, that is not a remote job. I was in the hospital every single day, 7 to 7. And I had to teach myself how to work from home. And I'm not going to lie, when I first started remote work, it was like a free-for-all for me. I was just so happy and thankful to be home that I was in my pajamas all day on my client calls. It became a thing where I was like, clients, you could wear pajamas too, whatever you want. Like, I would sleep in till 11, 12 p.m. My friends would like, they would always joke about it of like, you lost, you know, 4 hours of money making time, you know, because I would sleep in. And then from there, I would work late. I mean, I was all over the place and I didn't have a routine. And so for myself, it's very common to go from, you know, when you're coming from an in-person job to remote work, it's very common to be like, I get to just do whatever I want. I make my own schedule and I feel amazing and I get to wear whatever I want, et cetera. That is not going to work long-term is what I learned. It's amazing. Humans need routines. I felt like a shell of a person. You know how it feels when you don't feel disciplined, when you don't feel together, you feel like you're just kind of like going through the motion. So I didn't like how that felt anymore. And I tried so many different things. I tried to do a 9-to-5 schedule. Like I was like, you work from 9 to 5. That also didn't work for me either because I left my job for that reason at that point. But if you're someone that has to work 9-to-5, of course, you're probably used to that and in that routine. But for me, I more so wanted to work like a 2-to-7 or something like that. But just because I was working later, I was like, I need to wake up at a reasonable time though. I can't be waking up in the middle of the afternoon just to like go to a call. So I figured out that, okay, you don't necessarily need this set rigid schedule, but you do need a routine, right? So for myself, what that looked like was waking up at a certain time. It doesn't have to be 5 in the morning, but 8, 9, whatever that time felt good for me, waking up, having a routine of getting up, doing the things that I do in the morning, and then going into work so that no matter what time, you know, I went into work, I still had a full routine before then. Getting dressed every single day. I'm fully dressed right now. I do this even if I don't have podcast interviews, like getting fully dressed, makeup, hair, fully dressed really helped with my mindset, you know, as someone working from home. And those were like the first two things that were honestly life-changing was getting dressed and not just like the Zoom outfits where you're only like the bottoms or pants. I did that for a while. Don't do that. Get fully dressed.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that makes a difference?
To me, it makes a difference because you're not fully embodying it, right? You're still like half in, half out of your identity, I feel like, of being a person that I work from home, yes, but I'm a successful remote worker. I'm someone that shows up to my remote work just like I would my corporate, right? And you know, for a while, I was trying so hard to rebel against corporate. Like I was trying to be like, they made me wear scrubs and I'm never going to have to do that again. And even when I was in healthcare, I would try to like toe the line where I would wear like, you know, I would dress up my scrubs. Like I would try so hard. And so when I got out of it, I would rebel. And I was like, who am I rebelling against now? Like who's to rebel against? Right. And so for me, I think when you're doing the Zoom outfit, business on top, party on the bottom, it's a form of rebellion. And do you like that energy? A and B, I find that you're just like, you're half in, half out. You're not fully embodying the identity.
Great. So good. Yeah. What's your thought on morning rituals and morning routines? Like, you know, some people like, I know you don't, you already said you don't have to be a member of the 5 a.m. club, but what about like the cold plunge and the morning sunlight? And because, you know, I'm all into all of that. So, but like, it, that doesn't mean you have to be, but like, what is it that you've done or how do you incorporate or do you even incorporate?
I do. I'm a big morning person. Specifically, I always say I'm a morning person if you give me a few hours. So like, I can wake up at 5 a.m. if I have a few hours before my next thing, right? And so for me, I found I personally don't like working out in the morning. I love in the afternoon. It's like a stress relief end of day. I'm sure it's probably better. I don't care. Like I like it to like release the stress, et cetera. And that was really revolutionary for me was being like, oh, you don't have to do specific actions, but you do have to have a routine. So for me, my routine, right. So like, you don't have to work out in the morning. I love working out in the afternoon, specifically like 5, 6 when nobody's bothering me, nothing's going on, there's nothing ahead of my day. I can just like fully release. I love that, right? And with that said, you know, don't need actions, but need a routine. My routine is constantly evolving, but I tend to wake up, I will talk to my husband for the morning, talk about our day, etc. I make tea. And I make my tea like a ritual. Like I cut up my ginger, I cut up my lemon, right? Like I make a full pot of tea And then from there, I'm really just, I will journal, I will call a friend or a family member, connect with my loved ones. And then from there, I get dressed, I do my makeup, and I go to work. And that's been really helpful. But sometimes, like for a few months, my morning routine was you get up, you get outside, you know, you go out on the balcony and you enjoy some sunlight, and then you come back in and you do X, Y, Z. Like, it'll always evolve, but it's more of having a routine specifically is really important for your mental health when you're working from home. Because when you work from home, people, it's funny, like it's so glamorized, but people forget like how much the power of the monotony a little bit of going into work, doing the same thing, going to the break room, seeing your work friends, whatever. And you need to build that into your remote work too. You need to build the same routines in your remote work. So calling other remote workers, right, is really helpful for me. That's like my water cooler time, right? So like things like that are important.
And I love that you brought in the word that you taught me when we did coach, which was like romanticize. It's like, don't just go through it, but romanticize the routine of it. Like you said, I like the action or the experience of cutting up my ginger and cutting up my lemon and feeling the warmth of the tea, like being in that moment. I think it brings you appreciation for the work that you're doing.
Yeah. And I love to put on that point, I love to put a record on. We have a record player. I love to put a record on, open the window that's behind me, especially it's spring, summer right now at this recording, time of this recording. And it's just nice to get the whole house just like, all right, we're all setting ourselves up for today. Yeah. It's really, really nice.
So good. Okay. So if any, I have a question. What challenges have you observed that women of color face in remote work settings, and how can they overcome these obstacles? And they could be the same, but like, what challenges have you seen?
Honestly, what I talked about healing from our workplace trauma. And
yes,
it's really like, okay, I'm my own boss. Now I get to do what I want. I have nobody to answer to. And that can very easily lead to another extreme, right? Where, like I said, you're rolling out of bed at 12 and, you know, you're not getting dressed, and that's not healthy for you either. And so I really notice a lot of it is, it's a little bit of a pipeline. Like when you first start remote work, you're really trying to heal that workplace trauma, but actually what if you can heal it through being who you truly, your highest level self wants to be, right? Not by rebelling against what you weren't once allowed to do, right? Like, I wasn't allowed to sleep in. I wasn't allowed to wear what I wanted. I wasn't allowed. Don't focus on what you weren't allowed to do and doing that now. Focus on what is everything you want to be. And I think that's the biggest thing that I see. And that was definitely me.
I can so see that, like literally, because like those who follow me and know me, like I used to and still occasionally do anesthesia, and having to be at work at 6:30 in the morning was like, I had to get up early, and oh my God. And so when I'm like, I'm a full-time coach, I don't have to get up in the morning. And so I would like, and I get to just play and whatever. And then I realized the thing that I wanted most, that I used to always say when I was doing anesthesia, is like, I just want to go out on the back porch and listen to the birds. If you've ever called me or talked to me in the morning, you hear the birds. That's how loud they are in my backyard. And I just want to drink my coffee on a porch and listen to the birds. But that's what I wanted. But I wasn't even gifting myself that because I was rebelling against getting up early. Yeah.
For me, it was breakfast with my husband. My husband worked construction. Now he works remotely as well. But at the time he worked construction, he would have to get up at 4 a.m. I would have to get up at 5 a.m. We would never cross paths and have breakfast together. And that was all I wanted. Now, that's not always the case where you both can end up, you know, doing remote work. Mm-hmm. But for me, I remind myself that, like, Kirsten, you didn't want to wake up later. You didn't want to not wear clothes. You wanted breakfast with your husband. Like, that's what you wanted, right? Everything else, you're just kind of adding to it. I think another thing that came up for me, like in terms of women of color specifically, the challenges of working remotely is also working too much, right? Because you're at home, in a few different ways. So if you work for yourself, especially, right? Because you're like, okay, I got to make my paycheck. And then you get into the trauma response of hustle and overworking and trying to prove yourself and all of that. The other way is also if you work for a job, right? And let's say you negotiated remote work or they sent you home, but they have a lot of rules around making sure you're still productive, et cetera. You could be trying to prove yourself to them to keep your remote position as well. I have a lot of friends that were like, yeah, every day I have to prove that I'm worthy of being a remote worker, right? Because I have to prove my productivity. Even myself, I hire frequently in my company and people will say, they're usually corporate people. They'll say like, I do very well working remotely. I'm very productive working remotely. And I'm like, I know, don't worry, right? But like, that is a common issue that people face. So I think it's also the overworking when you're at home, when really you need to have the routine of this is when work ends, this is when it stops, right? So that you can have a balanced life. You could be with your family. I try very, very hard not to bring my work into my room, for example, keeping it in the office or in the kitchen. My husband never does. My husband is very boundaried. I'm the one that tends to break it sometimes, but I try not to do that just to have that separation because it's so important.
Okay, great. And I love that you said that because if we're trying to prove and like if the overall sense of, and we know that women as women of color, like we're lazy and we need supervising, then it's like our reports or people who we report to could have that tendency to like think that. And then if we're trying to prove it, then we work ourselves to death. Yeah, I can totally see that. What kind of ways can they do if they come up against that with like an employee or a boss or someone when they're like questioning it? What kind of things do you think they can do or systems that they can have in place that will show like, no, I'm working?
Yeah, this is really good. And I have no doubt that anyone that's listening to this is getting all their work done. So if we're imagining like you're getting all your work done and you're still being questioned, I think that's just a matter of obviously like having a conversation of, hey, the results don't lie, right?
Yeah.
However, if you are struggling to get all your work done and you really want to stay remote and show your employer or anything like that, that like you want to stay remote, honestly, you need to have systems in your life and in your home that makes it easy for you to actually finish your work, because that's the biggest concern that most people have when they're managing like remote employees is, you know, they're concerned about, okay, like, are you going to be going out in the middle of the day when we might need access to you? Are you going to have to go to the grocery store when we might need to finish something? So really building in systems, especially as a parent, I coach a lot of parents in my coaching programs around having lifestyle support, right? Having support around, you know, when you're working, having childcare or having support with that in some way, even if someone's in your house, whatever it is. I was going to say also setting boundaries in your house. I had a boundary with my husband where I'm like, don't just walk into my office. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just walk into my office. I might be on a call. I might be in the middle of working. Like, I might be really focused. Act like I'm in healthcare. Act like I'm gone. You can't reach me. You can't just walk in and sit down and whatever. My husband loves to like do that. Mm-hmm. So I have to tell him like, we'll meet up in the kitchen throughout the day, right? Mm-hmm. So having systems and boundaries in your home for how people operate with you while you're working will help you get your work done. And then also don't do housework when you are working. Don't do housework when you're working. Make sure
it's so easy to like put a load of clothes in the dryer.
It's so easy, but don't do it. There's housework and then there's, you know, job work or business work. And so I'm always going to say hire housework. You shouldn't even have to do housework. I'm always going to say that because I'm the team and systems person that's like, what? Just delegate it, right? But if you cannot right now or you're not right now for any reason, doing housework, make that a part of your morning routine, make it a part of your night routine, whatever it is, or once a week, whatever it is. Don't do it in the middle of the workday, because what's going to happen is what I find with my clients is they're not getting work done because they're working and all they're thinking about is I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do this and then I have to do that and then I have to do this and I have to make sure I do that. And that's keeping you from what you're actually doing. So really making sure you can, like as much as possible, close the tabs in your brain, whether it's having support in your life, like actual team support, mm-hmm. or it's having systems and boundaries, or it's having, you know, a routine around the things you need to do around the house, then those are going to be the things you need to do to make sure you're staying productive.
So good. Two things on this. First, I want to plug, like I said, that Kirsten was my client, but I am actually one of her clients also. And the first thing I did when I joined her mastermind was hired a lifestyle VA. Mm-hmm. And her concept was like, have that VA make its money back. And I was like, oh, I never even thought about like, how can I use this person so that it frees me up to make that money back? And so I did. And y'all, I wrote a letter. I think within the first week, like she had done and returned and got me out of all the memberships. You know how the memberships are. You got to come in person. Like she went and she had to go like to one place like three times, return stuff. I think what I paid her for that month, she got me back three times that in that first like week or two of her coming in. And so the importance of delegating, especially if you're remote, if you're corporate or whatever, I'm plugging it and she teaches it in her program for coaches. But also, I want to say, plug in for me, like I talk about the cost of distraction and we don't really realize the cost of distraction. And one of my key metrics is that I help my clients with, I give them a daily diagnostic, which I'm going to share at Emancipation. And one of them is like, how distracted are you? And we don't realize like, putting a load of clothes in a wash, we think is harmless. But even if you were working in corporate and you had someone just kept coming into your office and you were trying to work, the mental load that it takes for your brain to come back, refocus and recenter is like 20 minutes after. So you've just lost 20 minutes every time there's a distraction. So I love that you said systems and boundaries. So in other words, I just can't go to the store just because I got a break. No, because you're working.
There's an entire, I love the book. It's by Cal Newport, A World Without Email, that talks about the studies around like the cognitive load that it takes mm-hmm. to recover from a distraction. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable. And the whole book is really about how Slack specifically is like the end of all remote teams, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. It's like, right. because it's so distracting, right? It's so like people get a Slack message and they instantly go, or like a team chat or whatever it is, Google, whatever you mm-hmm. use in your company. Like you get a message and you're expected to respond right away. And that cognitive load it takes to get back into what you were doing creates so much lack of productivity. So actually, if you are in a workplace too, where you're able to, you know, where you feel comfortable introducing new ideas and things like that, that's like a solid idea to introduce of, hey, you know, actually when I'm expected to be on Slack all day, that's what's going to keep me from being less productive.
Right. And I can see that being a balance. If you're remote and there's a person that's like, well, I need to be able to have access to you. And so I've got to stop and check your Slack as opposed to setting up my Slack. Like I check my Slack at this time and this time, right? Or I Slack that at this time and this time. So finding that balance and having systems, I think is so individual. And I think you're amazing at that. The other thing I want to mention that you kind of talked about, but we haven't really said is, you talked about like your morning routine and how you like open up the blinds and you put on, I love that you, I'm like, when you said a record player, I was like, I'm buying a record player. I'm like, I can just going through the motion of like getting it and then putting the needle. I'm like, oh my God, just had a like feelgasm on that one. Like I can just feel experiential what that would be. But I'm looking at your home too and everything. And I'm like, the distraction of having an environment that is conducive to us creating work, I think we overlook that in like having our environment be inviting, especially if we work remotely, having our office be inviting, that you're like, oh, like when you go in your office, it should be like, oh, my space. Yes. Right. What do you think?
My home is everything to me. It must be fully designed. Like my entire, I call it my home statement, is cozy, functional and wealthy. Like those are the things that I want it to look like. And so for me, cozy and functional is so key because even when I'm fully dressed, I still want a cozy home, a home that I love to go to work in. It goes back to, instead of rebelling against like who you were before, who do you want to be? I want the beautiful home that I get to work in. So I have found it's a massive like deal to have your home decorated the way that you want to be. It doesn't mean you have to go and spend a bunch of money to do it. I actually use the method of take everything in your house, put it in the living room and find a place for it. That's what I did. And it changed my life. So there's that. That's like a design method that I learned. But what I was going to say is there was a time where I was working from home and I didn't have an office and I would work on the couch and everything changed for me when I got my own office. Like when I got my own office, it was a game changer. Even if you can't have, it's not like everyone, you know, we happen to be moving. Even if you can't move or anything like that, or you don't have an extra room, having an office area
yes. Is
so important. Having a chair and a desk. And it's also important for your body. I mean, your body literally needs that. Your body does not do well working on the couch, you know, ergonomically, but having like a place where you sit down and you put your computer and you have your things, it's so important. And for me, I will always make sure I have that now, whether I have a whole office dedicated to it or not. I will always make sure I have an office space and area because it's just so important for your energy. And it's so important for like how you feel in your home, how you feel at work. And it's just so important.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I love when you have a dedicated space because sometimes it doesn't, like you said, just a dedicated space, but that it looks pretty, like it looks inviting for you to go into. Like you may even buy a particular throw just for that so you can cover your legs if you're a little cold, or a candle just for that area, or your favorite picture. Like make it beautiful too.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Brig Johnson Coaching. Hey, I have some exciting news for all of my high achieving women out there. That's right. I get the emails and DMs from you guys saying you wish you were my target market. I understand. We need great allies too, and we need allies with well-managed minds. Well, I've listened. So this offer is for you too, because it's a one-on-one offer. So if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, you're a woman of color or not, or an ally. If you're tired of feeling like you can't do more, I'm here to help. My one-on-one six-month coaching program is designed specifically for you. Together, we will work on strategies to help you manage your stress and help you achieve your goals. Because women quitting on their dreams is just not an option. And this is what my six-month program can do for you. Instead of time management, we will uncover why you manage your time the way you are so that you can prioritize self-care, giving you more time to do the things you love. Are you struggling with imposter syndrome? Are you anxious with a chaotic mind? I get it. We target the root causes of imposter syndrome, helping you gain the confidence and self-assurance to pursue your goals and succeed in your career and your personal life. Do you struggle with communication issues, difficulty expressing yourself effectively, or asserting your needs professionally or personally? You'll learn to cultivate a positive relationship with yourself. We'll work on the why this issue is for you, why this is happening, helping you resolve the inner conflict so that you can easily take care of the external conflict with others. When it comes to communicating your needs, you don't need another communication class on how to resolve clients' issues. Once you uncover your hidden conditioning, you will have the skills to build stronger, more productive relationships with colleagues, clients, and ultimately leading to greater success and growth in your business and personal life. Listen. If you're a high-level woman ready to cultivate more meaningful and fulfilling relationships, both with yourself and others, and you take your business and professional growth seriously and you want to take it to the next level, you And your relationship with you and your brain is your greatest asset. My coaching program is perfect for you. You don't have to continue putting others first and neglecting your own needs and desires in the process. Because remember, you are your greatest asset. Let's work together to create a life that you enjoy, of connection and success. If this interests you, reach out, book a breakthrough call at brickjohnson.com/breakthrough. Again, brickjohnson.com/breakthrough. Look forward to talking to you.
Can you provide some actionable steps your listeners can take to enhance that productivity and presence while working remotely? Anything. I know we talked about systems, but like, can you give some actionable steps now? Because listen, I know you like you coach OBMs, and I have one of your OBMs that have gone through it, and she is a systems person. And I'm like, I am not the systems person, but I every time she says, and such and such, such, I always tell her, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Kirsten, for coming up with that. Thank you, Kirsten, because I know she's following your systems. But listen, like when we're stressed or whatever, we don't fall to the level, we fall to the level of our systems. And yeah. So that's why I wanted to head with you. Like we fall to the level of our systems. I am really great about helping people come up with their own individual protocols for their life, their nervous system and everything, but we need systems in our work also.
I think the biggest thing you can do to start is I have a framework that I teach inside my mastermind called peaceful productivity. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have a system at all right now, you can use this. And peaceful productivity is really just watching your brain as you work. And it's my client's favorite concept because they always ask me, like what you said, how do you get the amount of work that you get done in a short amount of time? And just for context, everyone, I have a $1 million business. I have an agency. I have a whole life. I have a lot going on and I still work part-time hours. So for me, it's peaceful productivity. It's watching my brain as I work. So when my brain says, this is hard, I'm not going to get this done, this is taking so long, this is going to take me a long time, I replace it with something new, right? I replace it with, what if it doesn't take that long? Or so what if it takes long? Just get it done, right? Or whatever it is. I coach my brain as I work. I don't just let my brain kick and scream while I'm working. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I actually get things done faster. So that's going to be the first thing is peaceful productivity. Watch your brain as you work. It will be a game changer for you. And my favorite thought when I'm like struggling at work is this is going to take all night. I'm going to be working all night and it's going to feel like a hustle. Listen, every time I think that, I'm like, okay, it'll take all night. And then it takes me an hour.
It's like, understand that the kid is just having a tantrum and like,
She'll be okay. Or like, so what if it takes all night? Just get it done, whatever it is. So really replacing it in real time. Other systems, honestly, I'm going to recommend every single person get a lifestyle VA. It's actually the least expensive hire that you'll make that will do the most for you. So for example, a lifestyle VA, it could be for whether you're in corporate, whether you have your own business, you just need them for 2, maybe 3 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And they will take off, especially as women, all of the invisible workload for you. Mm-hmm. They will take off the family appointment management, the calendar management for you, the grocery shopping. And it doesn't have to be in person. It can be remote. I actually recommend it's remote. The grocery shopping, online grocery shopping, keeping up my lifestyle VA, made sure I got my passport after I was putting it off for months, moving around, you know, managing your paperwork. My lifestyle assistant caught that there's 4 tax forms that I missed that I need to get together. I mean, so much invisible workload is taken off with that one hire, and it's very inexpensive compared to other hires. So I highly recommend that. And the other hire, honestly, is a house cleaner. Mm-hmm. A house cleaner, game changer, will change your life. I have a house cleaner that comes in 3 times a week now. And just because we have like a lot that we want done. She does organizing, she does cleaning, she does laundry, everything. Also not that expensive compared, but worth the cost if you are willing to do it. It will change everything for you. So having those 2 things and having a system for what they do, when they do it, you will feel like the most organized, peaceful person if you have those things. Like, I just met with my lifestyle VA today and she was like, I got this, I got that, I did this, I did that. You've got travel next week. I organized all your flights. I have all your hotels. I have this. And I'm just like, it would have never happened if it were me. Or it would have happened last minute. I would have spent so much more money on the flights. Just a game changer. And those are the main things. And those things will help you actually release so much off your plate that then you can decide, what are my routines when I don't have to do housework, when I don't have to manage the family appointments, when I don't have to do all this, what are my routines? That's honestly going to be what I recommend.
I love that. And I also know some of my clients are like, you know, the famous word, it must be nice, right?
Yep.
Like, so must be nice. I wish I
knew that was coming.
Right? You know it, because like, yeah, I wish I could, or it must be nice. And I love that you challenged me to like, make your money back. Like, make your money back, especially if you're an entrepreneur, make your money back. Like for me, y'all, mine comes to my house because I also needed somebody who could come in and like take care of my dogs when I was gone. So mine serves as that too. And so she's local. And so I can wash all day long. It's that folding and putting it away. Like, I will go in my closet and there's this huge, I was like, I will pay you just to put the clothes away. But here's the deal, as women, especially women of color, it's almost like we feel guilty for hiring help. Like, we will get our kids tutoring. We will get special lessons. I know I did. I will get special lessons for my kids for basketball. They do skills training or voice lessons or whatever. Or I will pay for whatever for my kids. My husband can get the golf lessons. He can do whatever. But oh no, I can't get help running the house. What do you got to say about that?
I have so much to say because I'm Hispanic, and in my culture, like, I'm supposed to be doing everything, right? Like, I'm supposed to be like, my husband picking up a dish is a sin, right? And I'm supposed to clean, I'm supposed to keep everything together. And I even have family members that have said things about, you know, the fact that I have a house, same thing, must be nice. Oh, or why do you even really need to do that? And things like that. And I'm just like, I am able to be the best possible wife because I don't have this stuff on my plate, because I don't split chores or do any of that. Like, I am able to be the best possible wife, the best possible person, because I don't have all of this like added expectation on me. And I did have a lot of guilt at first because I wanted to be the perfect wife that could be the successful businesswoman and keep the house together and do all this, but I couldn't. And so for me, I'm just like, who do I want to be? The person that's always trying to keep up, or be the person that's kept up, right? Like, who do I want to be? And so for me, it definitely took some cultural, societal unwinding. But now I'm like, if you don't have one, I don't know what to tell. You're just hurting yourself for no reason.
Right.
For no reason, right? If you can afford one.
Right. And a lot of us can. But the funny thing about it is, for my clients anyway, when they first start and I hear it and maybe coach on them and everything, the husbands or the significant other is like, I don't want nobody else in my house. I don't want.
Oh, that was me. That was my husband.
And now they have a list like, hey, when she comes next time, can you tell me?
Let me tell you something. No. And my husband's in this room right now and I'm going to call him out. He was the first one. I wanted a dog walker. He's like, nobody's walking my dog. Nobody's walking my dog. Now he's like, where's Alan at? Have you talked to Alan? Because Alan also takes him to my dog to the vet and things like that. He's like, call Alan up. Mm-hmm. He was the same way. I don't want anybody in my house. Now, here's what I tell my clients about this, because I have a framework for this, especially going back to the societal, the cultural, just because you're with it, don't mean your partner is, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For me, what I teach my client is like the 50% framework, which is, where can you meet them 50%? So for me, what I did was I was like, hey, babe, what if we're always home when they're here? Right? What if we are always home? I will never schedule a house cleaner when we are not here. And he was like, okay, we can try it. Right? Now he's like, where's Kate? Is Kate coming? I've got a whole thing for Kate, right? Like, tell Kate to do this. Oh, tell Kate we're leaving. Tell Kate we're headed out. I'm like, now we can leave the house, right? So
yeah,
it comes back to, where can you meet them 50%. It doesn't have to be 100% for you to get so much off your plate. Same thing with childcare. I say too, like, oh, my partner doesn't want me to invest in childcare, this, this, and that. I'm always like, where can you ask for one day a week? Mm-hmm. Where can you ask for date nights? Where can you ask for just during work? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I have clients that are like, I have to be there in the mornings for my kids, but like, then I'm able to go from there. And then I have to be there at night. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be 100% to feel like 100%.
Right. The one thing I want to say is, like, for those of you who are like, okay, it must be nice. And oh my God, such, such, like, really understand that we have a power gap as women, and especially as women of color. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love, you talked about Cal Newport's book, The Email, Life Without Email. I loved his deep work one, right? Where he talked about our work is our value, and our value is how we make money. The only way to increase our value, since we're talking about working remotely and entrepreneurship, is the formula is time divided by distraction. Well, listen, time, we got less of it because we're doing all the invisible work. So there's that. So the numerator is lower and we are more distracted. Not only do we have to worry about the normal interruptions that we get, but also the distraction of, I'm a woman of color at work. I got to say it this way. I can't say it this way. If I wear red lips, it's a problem. Somebody else wear, like, come on, what is it? We still talking about the senator with the red lips. Like, really? Oh my God. And if I show my bare shoulders, it's a problem. Like, all of those other distractions beside the distraction of, I got to take care of the house. What am I going to cook for dinner? All of that, that's what we're talking about. And so now your numerator is lower because you have less time. We usually, as women of color, get to the workforce. I'm on a tangent. I'm sorry. Get to the workforce later in life, and we leave earlier in life because we're stressed out. So we have to leave earlier in life. So the numerator is lower and the denominator is bigger because we have more distractions. So therefore, our deep work number, our value is lower, but not because we don't have the capabilities. It's because we're not operating using these two variables.
And it just goes back to, I could go on a rant on this too. I'm like, you expect me to do what I do at work, succeed at work, succeed with my body. I have to keep my body up. I have to keep my work up. I have to keep the house up. And then I got to keep me and my man up. And then I got to do this. And then
I got to sex you. Oh my God.
Yeah, then I got to sex you. I'm not sexing you if you're making me do dishes. I'm a lady. I don't do dishes. Like, and I joke about that too with my friends, where I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, it's like, if you want more of me, then you got to let me, like,
lighten my load.
Yeah. Right. You got to lighten the load. Right. And so it goes back to that. And there's just so much that's put on us. And then you add on women of color, and it's just like, there's just so much that's put on us. And for what? And I'm just not going to be the one to put it on myself. The world already does. I'm not going to do it to myself. Yeah. And, you know, and this has taken work. This has taken years. But like, I've now gotten to the place where I'm like, let the world say what they say. Let them put whatever they want on me. I'm not doing it to myself. I need to be the person that doesn't do it to myself. So when I feel guilty, when I feel embarrassed, you know, when my friends are over and I'm like, we should do this or we should do that. And I'm like, embarrassed that I said that. I'm just like, listen, let them think what they want, but I'm not putting that on me now.
And I want to just, I just want to offer this because you've tried it your way, whoever, like, if you're listening, you've tried it your way for how many years? Just try it. Just run an experiment. That's it. Like, we think when we make changes, they have to be forever. Just try it for a little bit. So I want you to give, like, because I have another big question, but this smaller one, because for me, like, I had to go through your process of like, how do I hire? Where do I find a lifestyle of whatever? Can you give a quick, like, how do you hire a lifestyle assistant?
Absolutely. Okay. So you have to do it just this way. Don't go asking your friends. You will make a mistake with your hiring and we don't want that to happen. There are a few places to find them. There's Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. There's Instagram. You can also find them on like sites like Upwork, sites like Fiverr, things like that. Mm-hmm. So those are the places to find them, number one. You can find them on Craigslist and Indeed, you're usually for that role not going to get many good leads for that.
Okay.
And generally, they don't call themselves lifestyle VAs. They call themselves executive assistants or something like that. But the reason why you don't want to put a role like that on LinkedIn or Indeed is you're going to be attracting like 100K a year, six-figure salary EAs that work with CEOs and VPs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find a more cost-effective one, all you're really looking for is a virtual assistant that can do lifestyle-related tasks.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you can do is you can join Facebook groups that have virtual assistants. You can type in virtual assistant into Facebook, join Facebook groups that allow you to post. You'll see it in their group rules to post asking for a VA. And what you're going to do is you're going to write down everything that, this is how you create the role. You write down everything that you need to delegate that's lifestyle related. So for example, family appointment planning, travel planning, grocery ordering, things like that. You're going to write all that down. And then from there, you're going to create a test project for them. This is how you make sure you get a hire that's going to be worth your investment, yes, that's going to be good. You're going to give them a test project, and it's going to be very simple. You're going to test them on a scenario that might happen in your life or that has happened. Mm-hmm. So for example, I need to organize an entire family weekend vacation to Disney, and I need this and I need that and I need this and that. Tell me exactly how you would do it. What would you put in place to make it happen? What things would you look for? What things would you ask me to get it done? So you're going to do a test project like that, and you're not going to hire them unless they've done the test project and they've done it well. And I do recommend paying for the test project if you can. Like I do recommend, you know, most people give like $100 or a couple $100, whatever it is, giving them something because, you know, you tend to attract better leads that way, et cetera. So you'll pay them for the test project, and then from there you'll hire them. And it's really that simple. But really, what I want you all to be wary of, that people make the mistake, is going for and looking for the word executive assistant when that's going to attract more C-suite style.
Right.
Yay. Yeah. And you don't want that. So that's going to be like the minimum viable what to do to hire that person. Do not hire them for like 10 hours a week, 12 hours. Only hire them, start them at 2 hours a week. Because a lot of times my clients will be like, I bet you it's going to be at least 10 hours a week. No, it's 10 hours a week for you because you're stressed and you take a long time to do things.
Right.
The work you actually have to do is probably only 2 hours a week. So only hire them for 2 hours a week. It'll be way more cost effective, and raise it later if you have to.
Yeah, I'm still at 2 hours a week. I want to raise mine, but yeah, I'm at 2 hours a week.
Yeah. And people do tend to ask me like, what's the going rate? What should I expect? Mm-hmm. It's such a range. Go within your budget. Figure out your budget. What are you willing to pay? I mean, I've seen all the way from $25 an hour to $100 an hour. Like I pay my VA a little bit in the middle, right? So it's all about what you're willing to pay every single month. That's how I would think of it. Don't think hourly. Think if I, for example, let's say 2 hours a week at whatever hourly rate would be $500. Think, am I willing to pay $500 for everything in my life to be organized a month?
Yeah.
Ask yourself,
what can I do with that time?
Right. Don't ask yourself, I'm not trying to pay somebody $100. Don't say that, right? Don't think hourly. Think about the monthly cost, and is that worth XYZ? What is your monthly cost? Then break it down into hourly from there. But that's a big mistake people make, is they're like, oh, like I don't want to pay someone $50 an hour. And I'm like, yeah, but that's only, you know, $500 a month. That might change your life.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then for some people, it might be lower, whatever it is, but make sure that you know your number that you're willing to pay and do that.
Okay. How did expanding your capacity and understanding your nervous system play a role in mastering remote work and achieving your business goals?
Honestly, okay, I'll start with mastering remote work.
Mm-hmm.
Regulating my nervous system with remote work was important for productivity, specifically overwhelm. Mm-hmm. So when I would push my to-do list off because I was like, I make my own schedule. Who cares, right? When I would do all that. Or if I just have a lot of work, right, that day, I would get so overwhelmed, so stressed, and that just didn't work. And so for me, knowing how to regulate my nervous system helps me to manage my overwhelm. And I'm overwhelmed so much less. Like I always say, I used to be a very frantic person. I feel so much less frantic. Like I'm just very... I'm a lot more grounded because of my nervous system regulation work. For achieving my business goals, it's actually more safety. Like, I don't feel safe, right? You know, oftentimes it's so scary to like go to the next level. What are the new problems that are going to come up? I'm scared. I dealt with this and I don't want to deal with it again. What if it's going to be amplified later? And for me, nervous system regulation has been all about, I remember when we coached together, I did that this circle where it's like, you know, hitting your goals is all about regulating your nervous system and telling yourself you're safe to hit the goal and then hitting the goal and then doing it again.
Right.
That's how it's helped me in business, because I would not be a $1 million business owner without nervous system regulation. There's just no way. And even this year, I'm trying to go for 2 million. Right. And I'm like, there is no way. There is no way I won't be able to grow without regulating my nervous system. I'll be shot.
But I also love that, like, the things that you do is regulating, is calming to your nervous system, like a clean environment, a yes. routine. So your brain is like, oh yeah, I know what we're doing. Right. So it's like, I'm not having to use a whole bunch of energy. This is my routine. And you're bringing in, see, don't you enjoy this? Look at this tea. This is wonderful. Look at this office. It's beautiful. And then you have boundaries and no, we're only going to work till such and such. So, and like when your brain is giving you all the stuff, you're having to answer is like, and so what? Like, you're keeping yourself regulated while you do that through environmental. I know you're on a health journey too, and all of the things. So I'm like, yeah, it plays a role, a big role.
Yeah, I think people treat nervous system regulation as I need a spa day. They treat it as an emergency, right? When it needs to be built in, or like, I need a vacation or I need a spa day. Nervous system regulation needs to be built into your routine. When I get extremely overwhelmed, really overstimulated, things, you know, like my brain just feels shot, basically, I have a routine where I'm like, okay, go outside. You know, there's grass out there, get some sunlight, get some air. Or if it's not nice outside and that doesn't feel good, okay, go on the Peloton, run some energy out, like ride some energy out, whatever it is. I just think it's so important to build it in, because I used to treat it like an emergency, and that just keeps your nervous system in an emergency state.
Right.
So that's not helpful either. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Now, as far as time, because everybody's like time management or whatever, it's so funny. Like, we're talking about systems, but notice she didn't manage. She ain't mentioned nothing about managing your time or whatever. But just for those who are asking, do you like three most important things, time block? Do you like Monday hour one for those who don't like, or do you like block out the whole thing? Do you use an AI tool? How do you get all the shit done?
Really good question. I do almost a version of a little bit of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I definitely do Monday hour one in terms of the planning. Like, I put everything.
Explain what Monday hour one is for those who don't know.
Yeah. So Monday hour one is a life coach tool around, basically you sit down for 1 hour and you put everything that you have to do for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And then there's Friday hour done, which is where you, you know, then review, did I get everything done, and make sure you got everything done. And so I definitely sit down once a week. Usually for me, it's Sundays. And I'm like, what's everything on my calendar? And I'll also what I call reconcile my calendar. So what that means is I'll be like, does that actually have to be done this week? Or can I put it somewhere else? Or like, do I have to do it this way? Or can I do it this way instead? Like, do I have to do it a 3 hour session? Or can I get this done in an hour? Right. Yes. So I'll also reconcile my calendar. I'll also ask myself, what can be delegated? If you're a business owner and you have a team, like, what can be delegated? Do I even have to do this? Right. Or if you end up getting lifestyle VA, which you totally should, if you do that, same thing, like, do I have to do this or can they do this? Right. So I reconcile my calendar that week. I also do a combination of, I really do work on, I have my ongoing tasks. And I honestly don't, I'm not a person that does set days for things. Like, I don't do, on Mondays, I do content. On Tuesdays, I do this. On Wednesday, I don't really do that. I'm more so just like based on my life calendar. Mm-hmm. So for example, this week, I haven't done my podcast yet. It is due today. So right after this, I'm just going to do it real quick and send it to my editor. The reason why I didn't do it earlier is because I was like, oh, well, on Monday, I have this happening. On Tuesday, I have this. On Wednesday, I have this. So I'm just going to do it on Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't do set days, but I do calendar. I make sure everything I need to get done is on my calendar. I reconcile my calendar, see what can be delegated. Then from there, I also do like to cycle sync, and it's very, very simple. It's just when I'm on my period, I don't put a lot of heavy things mm-hmm. that require a lot of brain work or a lot of face time. So I will do, you know, more like I call it my behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll do my behind the scenes stuff. But on high energy weeks, like when I'm in my ovulation phase, which again, this is very easy to figure out. It's literally, you could Google it and figure it out. Like when you'll be low energy, when you'll be high energy. But when I'm high energy, that's when I want to do the big stuff. I want to do the interviews. Like I'm literally on a high energy week right now. So I want to do the interviews. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's actually literally on my calendar for my lifestyle, the A to C. Like it says high energy on this week. And so they're able to be like, okay, I'll schedule this interview or whatever. So everybody's aware of it as well. Yeah. I make everyone aware.
Yeah.
I think those are the main things I do with my calendar. And you taught me this. So I'll put stuff on my calendar and I will put a time, but I don't necessarily follow it. So for example, I need to do my podcast today and I'll put it at 12. It's 1 o'clock right now. It didn't get done, right? But you taught me to have the thought, it's going to get done. Like I'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at my calendar as very flexible, which makes me not feel so stressed about it. Yeah. So whenever I see a bunch of stuff on my calendar for that day, I'm like, oh, I didn't get it done then, but like, it's going to get done. Yeah. It'll get done today. Right. Yeah. For what you taught me, it's all about self-trust. Mm-hmm. Like I have the self-trust that I'm going to get it done. And I'm a person that like hits my deadlines and does what I need to do when I say I'm going to do it. So that is really important because a lot of times people will be like, oh, I put it at 8 and I didn't wake up or I didn't do that. And I'm like, just get it done. Like,
yeah, we can sit there and shame ourselves or
just finish it. So those are my calendar systems.
Love, 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 love it. Okay. Because we're running over, so I have so many more questions though, but I'm like, oh, maybe I need to do 2 hours for these calls.
I love it.
Right? Because I'm like, we didn't even talk about like, how do you communicate with your team? All of that kind of stuff, right? Like, or with family members, do you schedule that in? Scheduling in me time is so important. Like, but I do want to leave with the person. This is the one I want to help, is the person who does the to-do list, but puts all the shit on it. Like literally all of it. Like I got to do this. And I love your like, what did you call it? Resourcing it or?
Reconciling it. Yeah.
How do they reconcile it as a woman of color mm-hmm. with the thoughts that we usually have that prevents us from reconciling it? Because no, it's all in. Or they won't even tell their boss this is too much, right? Or I need help or whatever. Like, let's talk about that reconciling. Because they don't even put self-care on their calendar.
You have to start with... the to-do list will never end.
Yes.
And sometimes our bosses like to act like it will, like the to-do list will end. It won't. The to-do list is never going to end. And so I think starting with that energy really helps you when you're communicating with your coworkers or your boss of like, oh yeah, like I moved it to this day because I prioritize these things. So I think it's really, instead of trying to be impressive, which is very common for us, right? Especially yes. successful women, we want to be impressive. Stop trying to be impressive. And I know that's so much easier said than done. I really do. Mm-hmm. But being impressive is actually going to result in less impressive work long-term. It's going to result in burnout. It's going to result in so much. So for me, it's all about like, I had to really rewire, even when I was not working for myself, I had to rewire the trying so hard to be impressive. I am never going to impress them. This to-do list is never going to end. So how do I want to operate now? And then I communicated with that like energy rather than, you know, the I'm really trying, but I need this to move and I need that, like, right. So there's that. When you're putting everything on your to-do list, you're either trying to be impressive or you're just not prioritizing and you're trying to get the to-do list done when the to-do list is never going to be done. So honestly, those two principles will change everything for you. And like, this is another thing that people do. Okay. And I used to do this too. You try to get ahead, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I have a no get ahead rule, actually. This is actually a major system in my calendar. I have a don't get ahead rule. Mm-hmm. What that means is I only do what I put on my calendar. I don't do tomorrow's work. Mm-hmm. I don't do Friday's work. Mm-hmm. I don't do Monday's work for next week. I do only what I put on my calendar. And because of that, I don't necessarily have to schedule in self-care and family time and friend time because I have it. And then I just go do it. You only have to schedule that in when you're overscheduling yourself, right? And so for me, I hang out with my family and friends every single night, almost every night. I call or text my family and friends every single morning or every single night because I have the time, because I have a don't get ahead rule. So I'm done with work at a reasonable time. It's not always 5 o'clock, but it's not, you know, 1 in the morning either. Mm-hmm. I get done at a reasonable time and then I'm like, okay, I have a don't get ahead rule. Today is done. And that changed my life productivity-wise too, because I know you appreciate science, Brig. Like, you have to think about the science of how your brain is not going to work well when you're overloading it and you're always trying to get ahead and you're trying to work tired. You have to rest and restore your brain.
Yes.
So for me, I have to remind myself a lot of the time of like, you're not going to even do good work right now. Mm-hmm. This isn't even going to be good work. So just rest and like put it down.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And for the woman who is like, I am overloaded. I am trying to do everything. Like, where do I start? And I love like, oh my God, like my calendar is crazy. I don't have any help. Delegate. Where is it? Like, how can we give them a lifeline? Give them a lifeline.
Honestly, I think if you were not to do anything new, like if you were not to hire anyone, if you were not to set up anything right for that, it really starts with stop trying to get ahead. Like, it really starts with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you were to stop trying to get ahead, what would change? Mm-hmm. If you were trying to stop, like, get ahead of the housework, get ahead of this, get ahead of that. If you just stop trying to do that.
Yeah.
What would happen? And you know what? We keep up a lot more when we stop trying to get ahead. Like, we actually do more at a higher quality. Like, the house looks better when we're not constantly trying to get ahead of it. Yeah. And honestly, it really goes back to stress and anxiety. We just have so much anxiety around keeping up, making sure everything's good, making sure everyone's okay. And that stress and anxiety is that's showing up tangibly in your calendar too, right? So if you are more peaceful, and if we can get you to a more peaceful state, even with all the craziness going on, and I get it, like I have a lot going on in my company as well. Even with all the craziness going on, if we can get you to a more peaceful state, your calendar is going to look more peaceful too.
Yes, I love that. Or the calendar can look the same and you will experience more peace even with the calendar.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I always tell people you can work 90 hours a week and be peaceful.
Yeah.
You actually could.
Totally.
Right? It's all about how you're thinking, how you're operating. It's all about that.
Yeah. And that is why I love focusing on stress, prioritizing recovery for women of color. I think that is the key for us, limiting the distraction and everything so that we can produce more work and decrease the power gap. And a lot of times it is that. It's working on ourselves, developing self-trust, all of those skills. So tell them all about you. I know you have 2 programs. I'm in both of them, y'all. I'm in both of them. Okay.
Yes, yes. I have a program called Million Dollar Email, which is an email marketing program. That's for business owners, coaches, and service providers that want to scale their business and be social media optional. And then I have a team systems and mindset program for coaches and agency owners that want to increase their profit by 50% while increasing their calendar space by delegating more. And yeah, just delegating their operations, delegating their client delivery, working more on their business rather than all up in it. So those are my 2 programs.
And your agency?
Oh, yes. And I have an agency. I always forget about the agency. I have an agency. I have an email writing agency. So we write emails for service providers and coaches. We do it for you. So in Million Dollar Email, we teach you how to do it yourself, you and your team. And then in Million Dollar Inbox, we do it for you. And yeah, those are the things I have going on.
So good. And if they want to follow you, I know you have a podcast.
Million Dollar Peace Podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram @KirstenRoldan as well.
Fantastic. I loved this podcast episode. I think it was so fun. I think we gave some good stuff.
It was so good. It was so good. I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah. Anything that you can think of that we didn't cover that you were like, they really need to know this? Anything or... Yeah.
You did ask me how I communicate with my team during the day. I'll answer that quickly. One of my pro tips, don't start the day with checking your email. I don't start the day checking my email. I don't start the day checking my Slack. I actually, even when I get into work, I actually look at my calendar first. I look at what I need to do before I have to go communicate with others. And if you're able to do that, that will be really valuable for you. And then from there, throughout the day, I'm only communicating with my team very, very briefly when I'm not in the middle of working. I actually have my notifications shut off on my computer for Slack messages and emails. I do not have Slack or Gmail on my phone. It's like a big rule for me. Yeah, that's how I communicate with my team. And I think that'll be helpful even if you are in a corporate setting. Like, don't keep your, you know, work email on your phone. Don't keep your work communications on your phone. Take it all off if you can, because they don't need you unless you're at work.
So many of them, but like, again, that we couldn't catch you. So that kind of thing. Right. So yeah. Right. Oh my God. So anyway, love it. Thank you so much. All right, guys, that was the first of Women in Winning series. Let me know how you enjoyed it. Any takeaways, write a review, and we will talk to you next time. Bye. Did you enjoy this podcast? Well, I have a personal invitation. I want to spend time with you, coach you, talk about the issues that are affecting you. We do this in a community we call the Melanin Hour, created just for us high-achieving Black women. You can register at brickjohnson.com/coaching. And don't forget, Deeply Rooted is where we put all this shit together. We immerse ourselves and we master this. 6 months, you, me, and a bunch of women that look like you and got a little melanin in them. That's Deeply Rooted. You can register for the wait list at brickjohnson.com/group. Hope to see you there. Bye.